Well, today I'd like to focus on that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It begins with chapter 19. It's a very interesting passage about St. Paul going to Ephesus. Of course, Ephesus would become a very important city because that's where our Blessed Mother would go. After the ascension of the Lord, St. John took her to Ephesus. The tradition is that they perhaps spent 20 years in Ephesus before Our Lady was assumed into heaven. Whether she was assumed in Ephesus or assumed back in Jerusalem, we don't know for sure. But Ephesus became a very important city for the early church because our Blessed Mother did live there and John lived there. In fact, St. John's tomb is in Ephesus. And we also know that Paul would write a letter to the church of the Ephesians. But here, St. Paul is traveling to that area, and he comes across some, what he calls, disciples. And he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they responded with a very shocking statement, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Now, this shows the lack of catechesis that was present in the early days. And in fact, these group of disciples in Ephesus, according to many of the scholars and commentators, were actually not yet Christians. They were sort of quasi-Christians. They were more followers of John the Baptist than they were of Christ. They had been baptized in the baptism of repentance, which was John's baptism. So St. Paul says, "Well, how were you baptized?" And they responded with the baptism of John. And remember, John's baptism was not the sacrament of baptism. John's baptism was not in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. It was not the Trinitarian formula that Jesus would give the apostles when he said, "Go out into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit." John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was a prefiguring, a foreshadowing of the true baptism which Jesus would give. John's baptism, in a sense, was like an Old Testament of a confession of sins, a washing away, a ritual purification, but it was not the sacrament. So in other words, these believers were not yet truly Christians. They were sort of, quasi-Christians, and they were doing the best they could with the knowledge that they had. They were still following sort of John's teaching and were baptized by his baptism. So then Paul enlightened them and gave them more catechesis and says, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." So John, of course, is the best man leading us to the bridegroom, Christ. And so John was in preparation to lead souls to Christ. And now St. Paul comes on the scene and he brings them into the fullness of Christianity. It says, when Paul heard this, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this baptism, again, according to most of the scholars and the saints, was now the Trinitarian formula. It was the baptism, not John's baptism, but Jesus' baptism in the name of the Lord. So what was Jesus' baptism? It was the one that he told the apostles, "Go out into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit." So they were now baptized as Christians in the Trinitarian formula. And then it says something very interesting. Then St. Paul gave them the sacrament of confirmation. And then it says Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them. See, two distinct things, baptism and now confirmation. And this is very important because this is great apologetic and scriptural evidence for the sacrament of confirmation, the laying on of hands. St. Paul was one of the first bishops of the early church, and when the bishop comes for confirmation, he does the same thing. To baptize Christians, he always lays the hands upon those to be confirmed, and they receive the sacrament of confirmation. And let me just end with a great quote from St. John Paul II. This was a wonderful homily he gave to young people when they were receiving the sacrament of confirmation. I think it's good for us to listen to these words as well, to think about our own confirmation, and are we really living out the grace of our confirmation? St. John Paul said, "Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit is going to be poured upon you in a particular way. You will hear the words of the church spoken over you, calling upon the Holy Spirit to confirm your faith, to seal you in love, and to strengthen you for service. You will then take your place among fellow Christians throughout the world, full citizens now of God's people. You will witness to the truth of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. You will live your lives in such a way as to make holy all human life. Together with all the confirmed, you will become living stones in the cathedral of peace. Indeed, you are called by God to be instruments of his peace. You too are strengthened inwardly today by the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that each of you in your own way can carry the good news to your companions and friends. The same Holy Spirit comes to you today in the sacrament of confirmation to involve you more completely in the church's fight against sin and in her mission of fostering holiness. He comes to dwell more fully in your hearts and to strengthen you for the struggle with evil. The world of today needs you, for it needs men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. It needs your courage and hopefulness, your faith and your perseverance. The world of tomorrow will be built by you. Today you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you may work with deep faith and with abiding charity, so that you may help to bring to the world the fruits of reconciliation and peace. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit and his manifold gifts, strive to be unselfish and try not to be obsessed with material things." Well, a very powerful message from St. John Paul II to young people and also to all of us, that we have to use the gift of confirmation and evangelize and to spread the faith with everyone we meet.